Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21.
1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege that we have to gather together in your house. And then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so again, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We do pray for the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you and that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives, drawn closer to you, and empowered, Lord, for your honor and glory. So bless and build your church, Lord, and bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, "For Even Hereunto Were Ye Called." For even hereunto were ye called. Also, we could call it simply following the steps of Jesus Christ. And so this is the calling of every believer, those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord. And a new birth has begun, right? A new life has begun by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this power and this life that comes from the Lord is something that the Bible says the natural man has a hard time understanding. The natural man, it doesn't make sense to the natural man, but it's supernatural, right? And so we need the help of the Lord to understand what this is all about, to draw nearer to the Lord, and to understand how to walk in his way. So tonight we're going to consider three thoughts that the believer is called to in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, again, if it doesn't make sense to the natural man, see, God has his way of thinking, we have our way of thinking, right? And so what we need to do is we need to say, "Lord, I need to understand your way of thinking so that I might walk in your way." So here are the three thoughts tonight. Spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. These are one of the three things that God wants us to be involved with, that he has called us to, and that is to have spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord. Secondly, that we are a chosen generation or a royal priesthood because of the grace of God. And then lastly, Christ's example, that we should follow in his steps, right? So these are the three things that God has called us to do. And here's the truth about it. We will never be able to do it in our strength. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God at the point of salvation, when God opens up our heart and mind to understand, to see our need, that we're not able to do it ourselves, are we? We don't have any kind of righteousness, and so that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, to give us his righteousness. And so it's really all about the righteousness of the Lord that he has put to our account or into our life. The only reason why we have any standing with God Almighty is because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that he made on our part, right? And so that's the difference. And by the way, there's a lot of people that don't really understand what we're going to be looking at tonight, because here's the natural tendency, right? When you realize that you're lost, I go back to 1987 when I was 24 years old, and all of a sudden everything came to pass in my understanding, where, wow, I'm not that good of a person. I thought, you know what, I haven't killed anybody, I'm okay. I try to help people, I'm kind to people as best as I could be kind to people. And anyway, all of a sudden this fellow that was sharing Christ with me was allowing me to see through the scriptures, my sins have separated me. And how many sins does it take to make a sinner? Just one, right? How many lies does it take to make somebody that has told a lie before? Just one, right? And so that has separated me. And so by faith, I said, man, I can't do it. I trust you, Jesus, to give me your righteousness. And then all of a sudden, the understanding of God's forgiveness of my sins and his righteousness made the difference. Now I saw the love of God for myself for the very first time, and now I'm ready to serve the Lord. Not really, but I thought I was. Here's how I was ready. And really, in a sense, I was ready to understand and to grow in the grace of God now. And there's a lot of bumps and humps along the way because I didn't fully understand everything. But here's one thing I did understand. God paid for all of my sins, past, present, and future. So I owed him my whole life. I knew of the existence of God personally like never before, and I understood that I had eternal life by the grace of God. And now, out of gratitude and thankfulness, I wanted to do something for the Lord. So he says, listen, you can honor and glorify me in your life. So I'm ready to do that, but the only thing I did not understand is I cannot do it in my strength. But the good news is that God has given to us as a believer his strength, if we'll have it. But this is something that we have to learn. There's a learning process that God wants us to come to as we walk with him. So let's consider the first thought, and that is spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord. And by the way, if you know the life of Peter, you got to appreciate something about Peter. Remember Peter and John, the two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. The Bible says that John was the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ. But wherever John was at, Peter was there. And even when the Lord resurrected and they went to go check things out in the tomb, you remember that? Peter and John was the younger one, and he outran Peter, right? And he got to the tomb first. But here's the thing. John, being who he was, did not enter in. He just kind of saw it. And Peter, you know what Peter was? What was Peter like? Lord, if it's you, bid me to walk on the water. He was the daring one. He was the one that was really wanting to see. So what happened when Peter got to the tomb? He went into the tomb to see for himself, right? He wanted these personal experiences that God gave him. By the way, God wants to give you and I a personal experience of the salvation. Listen, faith in Christ, equated with the word trust, is an experience with the Lord to watch him work in our lives. We're not just putting our faith, some people think, on something that's invisible. Well, the Lord, we can't see him physically, but we can see the working of the Lord in our lives. Just as you see the wind blow, you can't really see it, but you can see the action on the leaves on the tree, right? You can see what's going on. And so likewise, here, notice what he says here in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. Now, we can understand that, but notice he says, wherefore. And what we want to notice, first of all, is why is that wherefore? Because of is what we would say today. Because of what we just heard. So let's back up just a little bit back to chapter 1 and look at verse 22. And notice what it says here in 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through how? Through the Spirit. Did you see that? Through the Spirit. See, we cannot obey the truth unless it's done through the Spirit. We cannot even purify our souls unless we just present it before the Lord and say, Lord, you do your work in me. I can't do it. What happens is we'll get frustrated by saying, you know what, I want to do. And by the way, that's a mark of somebody who's saved. I want to do right, but I can't do it. Before you get saved, you just do what you think is right, right? That's what we did. We did what we thought was right. I thought I was in good standing. Listen, I don't need to go to church. I don't need religion. And I didn't really need religion. I needed a relationship with God. And that's what he gave me. But because of that relationship, I understood more about what the church was about and the working of the Lord. I began to grow in that understanding. So likewise, as we consider this, it's a work of the Spirit that we notice here in verse 22. And notice what he says again, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. How? Fervently. Did you notice? Fervently. So this is, God wants us to love one another unconditionally, fervently. Now, Can people get underneath your skin? Of course, right? So even people that you love that are in your family, can they get under your skin? Okay, so, but here's the thing. God wants us to love one another, speaking of the body of Christ, the people of the Lord, and surely he wants us to love our own family, and surely he wants to love those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might get saved. So this love is really important because that is the differentiating factor that the world needs to see. But not only the world, believers are encouraged by the love of God, right? Listen, we can be cantankerous at times. Yes. You ever heard this statement? Well, they're just in a mood. You ever heard that? Well, we need to love them even whether they're in a mood or they're not in a mood, because God has given to us that love, right? That unconditional love. And God, unconditional, that means God is not waiting for us to do something for him to love us. That love is there 24/7. And God is saying, because I have given you that love, you need to love everybody else that way. And here's the truth. We cannot do it unless we say, Lord, here's the faith part, ready? You said you would do that through me. You said you would do that through the Spirit that now you have indwelt me with. So I'm going to ask you, I'm asking God to do something for me that will honor and glorify him that he's asked me to do. You've asked me to love people that aren't really easy to love in my strength. But I can do it. You've promised that you would do that, that you would be my witness in my life for your glory, that I might be able to love others that I can't do in my own strength. So notice what he says here. He says, with a pure heart, in verse 22, fervently. Why? Verse 23, being born again. This is the believer now. We've been born again. There's a new birth. God has caused, listen, we went to the Creation Museum and we saw, and I did not even realize this, but do you know when there's a certain key, right? When a woman is going to come in the family way where she's going to expect a baby, the sperm finds its way to the egg, and then when it enters in and it makes that connection with the egg, do you know that there's actually a spark? Do you know that there's actually something that lights up and wow? Listen, who caused that to happen? Isn't that amazing? Listen, we can't create things like that. And so likewise, just as there is a real physical life that is now begun, right? Even though the Bible says, God says, before we were conceived, he knows us. Isn't that amazing? Before we were conceived, God knows everything. And again, remember, the Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And so of course, the answer is no. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can do anything that we need him to do. But here's anything that he wants to do, that he's willed to do. But the beautiful part is, that means that everything is simple to the Lord. Amen. That's great, isn't it? Everything is, there's nothing difficult with the Lord. Everything is all easy. Things may be difficult in our understanding, but to him, he already knew the problem and the answer before we were ever conceived. That's a great assurance. All right. So just as you and I cannot create life, but we know that we're here, right? We know, we've been brought into this world. It's an actual experience that we had. Likewise also is the salvation that God brings into the life of a believer. So notice what it says here, again, verse 23. Being born again, look at this birth, this new life. We've been born of water, that's the physical birth, of flesh, and now through salvation we're born of the Spirit. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's what's happening inside of us. We call that eternal life, right? But the important part is that we allow the life of Christ that he's given to us to live and come forth out of our lives. And that's something that we have to ask him to do, and that we know that's his will, and then we believe it by faith and walk in that truth and watch what God will do. He will do things that we can't do for ourselves. Notice this, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It fades, right? But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now notice, let's connect this, right? verse 1 of chapter 2. Wherefore, because of your new birth, that's what he's saying. Because you've been born again, because God has given you this great gift that he has provided for, right? Because of that, now he says, laying aside all malice and all guile. And remember, again, this is the work of the Lord that he wants to do in the life of the believer. And he says, laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, and all evil speakings. Now, here's what we think. Ready? Ready? I'm okay if I don't do a lot of... What's a hypocrite when we say something like, well, this is what you should do, but we're not doing it. Right? When we say, you know, speaking unkind words about other people, is that a good thing to do?
No.
Isn't that amazing? We all know that. But don't raise your hand. Have you ever said unkind words about somebody else? We all have, to some degree, right? We all have. But here's what we do. Ready? Well, I don't do it all the time. I've done it maybe. You maybe can't even count on all your hands and toes how many times in a lifetime, you know, somebody may have done it. But here's the thing. That's not the standard. God didn't say put away some or most evil speakings. He said put away what? All. All. So see, the truth is, in my strength, I can't do it. And by the way, this is something that we face every day, how we're going to walk. Are we going to walk in the energy and power of our flesh, our strength? It's weak. Or are we going to look to the Lord for his strength that he's given to us as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And notice what he says here. Again, he says, put away, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, plural. And notice what he says here, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Wait a minute. You know how many years I've been saved? You mean to tell me I've got to nurse on milk? Yeah, because you know what? We need the strength of the Lord. And you know what that is too? That's called humility. That's saying, you know what? Even though I've been saved for some years, that doesn't mean that I don't need to nourish on the Lord. That doesn't mean that I don't need his strength. See, that doesn't mean I can make up my own rules. I can just decide what's right and what's wrong, because what will happen is we'll find out before the Lord when it's too late that we did not honor and glorify him. And here's what every believer wants to hear that I'm convinced of. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to have a good relationship with the Lord. And here's the thing. In that good relationship, we'll experience God working for us and doing things for us for his honor and glory that will bring blessings into our lives. So here's the thing. If somebody is unkind to you and you're kind back to them, do you not think eventually they'll see something? If they're ungracious to you and you are giving them the love of God by the grace of God, eventually they're going to say, you know what? I'm a real stinker. I mean, here I am being unkind and this person is just constantly being nice. That's why God says overcome evil with what? Good. What's the natural man say? The natural man says, okay, ready? I'll get even with you. Oh, no, that's not the Lord's way. If the Lord would have gotten even with us, none of us would be here right now. Right? Back on when they put him on the cross of Calvary. Listen to this. Fathom this. God the Father knew and sent his son anyway that his son had to go to the cross at the hands of sinful mankind to pay, because he loved us, to pay for all of our sins. And he was willing to make that sacrifice. And listen, you and I don't even understand that unless God opens up our understanding. I had no idea the depth of my sin and what it did in bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary for my sins. I didn't understand that. Amen. And so I sidestepped that. I'm not a bad person until the Lord showed me all my sins have condemned me. There's no out. There's no out but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And instantaneously, that's what I ran to. And so, just likewise, for everyday life, God says, I am your stronghold. I am your shelter. I am your place of protection that will help you. And by the way, in this old world, this world needs to see the love of God. They don't, listen, they need to see the love of God in the life of the believer. That will do, listen, I know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but when people can see the work of God in the life of the believer that changes them, then they see the reality. Then we become the witnesses that God has called us to be. It is useless. Listen, it's useless for you and I to tell people about the love of God and then not see it in our lives. If they can't see the love, show me the mercy of God. Show me the love of God. Show me what makes you different, right? And so in order for that to take place, we have to be dependent upon the Lord. And by the way, he's called us to this. So notice he says in verse 3, in fact, look at verse 2, and we'll put 2 and 3 together. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And by the way, Peter, do you think Peter's still growing in the Lord as he was writing this? Absolutely. And so verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And so God is saying, be reminded, this is a precious thing, an opportunity that we've been given. Ye also, listen to this, ye also, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was a living stone. Is that not what we just read there? He was different than the religious crowd that put him on the cross, was he not? Okay, and so he was a living stone. Now watch this. Verse 5, ye also as what? Lively stones. Did you see that? You also in the Lord Jesus Christ are a living stone by the grace of God, not by ourselves. And notice this, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood. What for? To offer what? To offer spiritual sacrifices. And listen, a sacrifice is a blessing, right? It honors the Lord. Amen. And it brings peace, the peace of God. And so if we look at ourselves as a living sacrifice, then we are in tune with the heart and mind of the Lord. Did the Lord Jesus Christ deny himself? Do you know what it was? We can't even fathom what it was. Do you realize that he is God the Son that left the splendors of heaven to come and become a mortal man? He was the God-man, but he came down and lived among us as a human being for our salvation. Amen. And in that whole process, what did he do? He denied himself, didn't he? And he subjected himself to the Father. He is equal with God. In fact, that's what the religious crowd stoned him for, if you remember. You remember that? You make yourself God. That's why they said he needs to be stoned. And he was God. He was God. But here's the thing. He humbled himself to follow the will of the Father. And he says that he's our example. And so we need to humble ourselves if we're going to experience this, that the world might see the love of God. And to offer up these, notice, spiritual sacrifices in verse 5, acceptable to God, how? By Jesus Christ. So this is the work of God in us. Wherefore also, verse 6, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, remember, that's us the believer, unto you therefore which believe. Did you get that? He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe. He's putting us in that group. He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And fathom this, you know who did not believe, who rejected the stone? The Jewish Pharisees, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, all these people that should have known the Messiah was coming and who Jesus was, they rejected the way of the Lord, and that's why they did not know who he was. But Simeon and Anna knew, didn't they? When the Lord came on the scene, this is the Savior of the world. They knew because they were in tune with the Lord. And so it is possible for you and I as a believer not to be in tune with the Lord. A saved child of God, destined for heaven because of the grace of God, but not walking in step with the Lord and allowing Him to work and live through our lives, and that's where we receive the blessing, where we're enabled to trust the Lord like Daniel did, even when he was told, listen, if you pray, listen, they're going to throw you in the lion's den. So what did he do? He prayed, didn't he? And what did they do? Question, did he see the grace of God in the lion's den, keep the lion's mouths closed? Do you remember those that conspired against him and made this law up and fooled Darius the king in this? Do you remember what happened to the people that King Darius threw into the lion's den right after they pulled him out? They had mastery of him, the Bible says, before they even came to the floor of that. They were hungry lions. So it was, and by the way, Daniel knew that also. So what did Daniel see? God's protective power. Why? Because he was submissive to the will of God and was not trying to protect himself, but wholly, listen, trusted or had faith in God's great faithfulness. Amen. So here's the thing. If we really want to experience the Lord, God wants us to prove him in every area that he's called us to. So, Lord, here's one thing I know. I cannot be kind to people who are unkind to me in my strength. I know that. I can't do it. But I'm putting my trust or my faith in you because you've called me to be kind to those and to turn the other cheek, right? Amen. And so I'm going to lay my life down a sacrifice. In fact, I'm just going to present it to you. I can't even lay my life down, truth be known. I'm just going to give you my life and say, here, Lord, you take it and you keep my mouth closed. And not just keep my mouth closed, but you allow me to love those that you love those through me. How about that? Amen. That they might see you. Amen. And why? Because that they might have because I didn't deserve eternal life. You didn't deserve eternal life. What did we deserve? The judgment of God. But what did we get? We got the mercy of God. Wouldn't you like to know other people made it to heaven because of your testimony? Because they understood the love of, they saw the love of God. See, it's not just I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven and that's okay. The rest can just fend for themselves. Listen, if that was God's attitude, he would have never come for us. He would have just started somewhere else or did something else. I don't know what he would have done. But I'm glad that he came for us. Amen. Notice also verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being what? They're disobeying, aren't they? They're disobedient. Do you know that you and I will stumble at the word? We will miss what God is wanting to do in us if we are disobedient to the Lord. And if we excuse our disobedience to the Lord. Listen. If we are speaking unkind about other people, is that the will of God or is that disobedience? It's disobedience. So, you know, the Bible is just telling us right there, we are going to miss understanding. We are going to reject what God has set up. We are rejecting to our own detriment and missing out on seeing God's great faithfulness in our lives and receiving the comforts and the blessings like Daniel did in the lion's den, like Joseph did when he was betrayed by his brothers, and then when he was set up second to Pharaoh and got to, and remember, he ministered to his brothers that betrayed him. They conspired to kill him. And the brothers were afraid when they saw him. And what did Joseph say? Fear not. I know you meant it for evil, and I'm paraphrasing, but God meant it for good. How did he see that? The Spirit of God. Amen. And so, listen, all those years, Joseph was being blessed by the Lord, and he was being tried, and he was also growing in the grace of God. Did he not with Potiphar's wife? And he was thrown into prison. And did he not see the Lord come through even while he was in prison? Yes. Absolutely. And if Joseph would have been just stuck on himself, he would have missed all of that. By the way, if we're not willing to submit to the Lord and to prove the Lord, we will miss that also. See, it's all about God working in the life of the believer that makes the difference. So again, verse 8, he said, this is what the Lord's become to them because they rejected it. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. That's powerful. In eternity past, God saw it and he left them to it. Amen. And listen to what it's saying here. They were disobedient. They stumbled at the word. You listen very carefully, and they're very arrogant, and they're very proud, and very sure when they were condemning the Lord Jesus Christ that they were right. Question, were they right or wrong? I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, would you? So why? Because they excused themselves. They became the judges. They judged God, didn't they? They were no longer servants. They were thinking in their own selves and justifying themselves and thinking they were doing God a service. Do you know what a difference the world today would see if believers said, this is my course? Do you know what a testimony they would have? Do you know how many people we would hear of being saved because they're seeing the grace of God in the lives of God's people? The mercy of God in God's people, the love of God, the kindness, the gentleness, the long-suffering, the Spirit of God working in the lives of God's people. And then he says this, not only these spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord that we're called to, but also we're this chosen generation. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, what is this royal priesthood and this peculiar people? It's not that we dress funny or look funny, nothing like that. But that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We don't have any light in ourselves. So here's the question. Did Daniel experience the grace of God in his life? And by the way, he also was there to help King Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, oh, listen, King, this is not good news for you. And King Nebuchadnezzar still went his route, disobeyed the Lord, but then after 7 years was brought back. And Daniel told him, God revealed that to Daniel. So question, did Daniel have confidence or lack of confidence in God's great faithfulness to himself? Did he saw God work and work and work again. Likewise also the Apostle Paul. Likewise, listen, every believer, and if you read the believers in history, they saw the faithfulness of God that caused them to do things that were unbelievable. I think it was in the 1800s, the Moravian believers, two of them wanted to be missionaries to these people on an island that were slaves. And get this, they had to come in as slaves. There was nothing on that island but these slaves that this man had, but they wanted to go witness, and they gave them a send-off, and the people were cheering them. The family was cheering them to go, that they might be the light to these people that were slaves. And get this, they had to pay their own way. The slaveholder was going to get slaves, but he wasn't going to pay a penny. They had to pay their own way to come in. And you can come as a slave, and that's what they did for the Lord Jesus Christ. So many, Jonathan Livingston, you've heard of him. You should read what he gave up to go out into the Africa, the dark continent, and did without all these things because the love that he had for souls to be saved, the African people. Do you know where they found him? He was in his hut on his knees in prayer, praying for the salvation of these people, and many of them were saved. And they prepared the body to send it back to England. And the people that came, they told him, they said, listen, everything of the body of Jonathan Livingston is there, but his heart stays here. Because we know that he loved us. How did they know that? They buried his heart in Africa. They sent his body back, but they said his heart was here. Isn't that amazing? You know, God, see, it's the love of God like that that turns a world upside down. That turns people, there's something different about you. And it's not us, is it? It's God in us that makes a difference. And if we will become completely dependent upon the Lord to perform this promise, is God true to his word? This is the promise from the Lord to his people. If you will call on me to perform my promise, we're praying in the will of God. So if we're praying in the will of God, will he perform it? Will he answer that? Absolutely. Very quickly. He says, verse 11, dearly beloved, we're going to kind of skip through here for sake of time. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. He's pleading. Live like this is not your home. We're just passing through. There is not one thing we're taking out of this world. Not one thing. Amen. Not even the clothes on our back. Amen? And so, not that we're not in the world. We're just not of it. That's okay to have these things, but the things not to have us. He says, submit yourselves, verse 13, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's the only way we can do it. By his grace, by the way, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. With well-doing. With the love of God. If we have the love of God in us and it is working as it was in Christ, that's the love of God. Amen. And will the world see something different in us? Absolutely. Didn't Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself? If who be lifted up? Yes. Jesus, not us. If Christ be lifted up. And if Christ is lifted up in our lives, where's our life? Hid with Christ. Amen? It's not seen. We don't care about us being seen. We care about the Lord being seen. And then the last thought here. Look at verse 16. As free men, as free, and not using your liberty, your freedom, as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so here it is, basically, the bottom line is this. We need the Lord to walk in his ways. But here's the first part. Do we believe the Lord that he will do this? Because we can't do it. So Lord, I want you to live your life through me. I am just going to present my life to you. Present your lives a living sacrifice, right? Romans chapter 12. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. And I'm asking you to do with your will with me. We would call that surrender, wouldn't we? I surrender my will for yours. Ah, that's the question. Are we willing to trust the Lord with our lives? He gave us his, didn't he? Oh, Lord, here's mine. Because in light of eternity, what is this life? The Bible says it's just a vapor, here and gone. It's just smoke and it's gone. And you look and listen, I realize that more and more. I'm telling you, weren't we teenagers just yesterday? And look at us now. Amen. We're closer to leaving this life than we were when we were teenagers. But God is worthy to have all of us. And if we give him all, will he shortchange us or give us more than we could have ever imagined? So here's the question. Where is our faith tonight? And where do we want to put it? Because we make that choice every day, don't we? Where do we want to put our trust? In the Lord or in ourselves? In the Lord or in the stock market? In the Lord or in this world that's passing away? So again, the invitation is the Lord. He says, come and call on me. and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, again, it's our opportunity to call upon the Lord to do his will and work in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you, Lord, for all the opportunities and privileges that you present to us. We ask, Lord, that you would just speak to us, work in our hearts and minds, that we might follow you and draw nearer to you, Lord, to experience your great grace. Meet the needs, Lord, that are here tonight. May you be honored and glorified and fulfilling them, and we'll give you all the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.